97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Jury judge has only a few days left to decide whether to remove or keep a question on abortion access on the November ballot.
Our Missouri Capitol reporter Hannah Falcon was in the courtroom today. She breaks down this case.
The lawsuit heard here at the Cole County Court argues that the question put before Missouri voters on restoring abortion access is deceiving. If the parties suing get their way, this question will be taken off the ballot altogether.
Welcome back. I'm Kim St. Ange filling in for Mark Cox, who returns tomorrow. In the meantime, Scott Jagow is here filling in for me. And we've been talking this morning about this really big ruling, this court ruling that happened out of Cole County on Friday. And it means that the ballot, Amendment 3 on the ballot may not be a thing. It could be axed from the ballot. I wanted to get more from Steve Rupp, who is the president of Missouri Right to Life, because, Steve, I know you guys have been fighting hard for this. So this is obviously a huge win.
It's a huge win, but it's a temporary win. And I say temporary because the ballots have to be finalized tomorrow. The ballots have to be printed, and they have to have time to be able to do that. They need 8 weeks to be able to do that, and it's 8 weeks to the election from tomorrow. So all of this has to be decided literally by tomorrow.
Because what happens is this group, this pro-abortion group, they can still appeal until that deadline, right? So there is still a chance it could end up on the ballot.
Yeah, there's lawsuits coming out of our ears, quite frankly. The Thomas More Society is representing the pro-life folks. And basically what they said to the circuit court was, and Judge Limbaugh took this case, what they said was that they violated statutes when they collected signatures. When they collected signatures, they were supposed to let the people that were signing know what laws would be affected if this, in fact, passed, if this amendment passed, what laws would be affected. They didn't do that. And so they went to Judge Limbaugh. Judge Limbaugh agreed. Matter of fact, let me read to you what Judge Limbaugh said in his opinion. He said, Missouri statutes require that each petition offered for signatures contain or attach a full and correct text of the proposed measure that includes all sections of existing law or of the Constitution, which would be repealed by the measure. Then he goes on to say, he said that they should have attached to the page of the initiative petition during the gathering of signatures, including no disclaimer or equivalent to a disclaimer. In fact, the full and correct text failed to identify any sections of existing law or of the Constitution which would be repealed by the measure. He then goes on to list all the things that were on the petition when people were gathering their signatures, what it said. And he said, this full and correct text of proposed Amendment 3 advises voters of no changes it makes to existing law. The abortion industry argued, he didn't say the abortion industry, he said the defendants, which are the abortion industry, argued on the record, listen to this, that such an omission was made because it would confuse voters and that Amendment 3 would eventually have some type of effect on all sorts of laws. That theory, and this is his writing, that theory, of course, is not an exception to the requirements of Missouri law. He then goes on to say they purposefully decided not to include the most basic of statutes that would be repealed, or at least in part by Amendment 3. I mean, they did this on purpose, according to the judge, that they knew that they should have done this, and they didn't. And then he goes on to say that there are a number of laws, that in his writings, there are a number of laws that will be repealed, not the least of which is that it is a felony to perform an abortion right now. That would be repealed. The life of the woman would be repealed. Now, he doesn't go on to say this, but he says there are many more examples to be found in Chapter 180, and I put in there, including parental consent would be gone, ultrasound, the mandating of ultrasounds would be gone, health reporting standards would be gone, and more. So he says at the very end, he writes, the failure to include any statute or provision that will be repealed, especially when many of these statutes are apparent, is a blatant violation of the sufficiency requirements of Missouri law.
It seemed very intentional that they use language like, was it reproductive health care or reproductive freedom? Because it's very vague. And I know there's concern about, okay, well, if you say yes to this, are you then opening the door for, say, gender transition surgeries?
Yes,
for minors?
Absolutely right. Yes, that's part of quote unquote reproductive health care because they didn't define what reproductive health care is.
So let's say the abortion industry does not get this appeal and this is it. It does not. Is there any chance that they could still make a change, or because there's that deadline tomorrow at 5 p.m. where the ballots have to be basically printed, it's a done deal if they don't get the appeal?
Okay, so no, here's what's happening now. I mentioned that there's a lot of lawsuits.
Yeah.
The pro-abortion camp appealed to the Supreme Court. They appealed that this should go to this. Well, they wanted to go to the Circuit Court of the Western District, which is a very, very liberal court. But it can't go there. It has to go to the Supreme Court. And so again, it has to be decided by sometime tomorrow, by 5 o'clock tomorrow. Well, in the meantime, the Secretary of State could have pulled the amendment from the ballot based on the opinion of Judge Limbaugh. Well, the pro-abortion camp filed a stay yesterday. They filed a stay that would prevent the Secretary of State from doing that. And whether he could legally or not, I don't know. I'm not an attorney, but I know that was on the table, the possibility of him pulling this ballot measure because of the opinion of the court. But the opinion of Judge Limbaugh said that he was going to give them the opportunity to go ahead. He wasn't going to institute his opinion until the other side had an opportunity to appeal. And they did appeal, and they appealed to the Supreme Court. Well, the Supreme Court issued, they upheld the stay. This just came in, that the Supreme Court upheld the stay, so that kind of neutralizes the Secretary of State's ability to be able to pull it off the ballot. So in the Supreme Court's ruling just recently, they said that briefs need to be filed today by both sides to the Supreme Court by noon today. They have to file their briefs. And tomorrow morning at 8:30, the Supreme Court will hear arguments from both sides. And the decision, again, has to be made very quickly.
Wow.
It has to be made tomorrow.
So we're going to be watching, obviously, to see what happens. Hey, thanks, Steve, for giving me a heads up about this when you reached out to me on Friday. And thanks for all that you do,
you know,
on behalf of Missouri Right to Life for the pro-life movement.
We're just trying to save moms and babies.
Absolutely.
It's a beautiful thing. Moms and babies are a beautiful thing.
Couldn't agree more. It's Steve Rupp, Missouri Right to Life president. Steve, thanks so much. All right.
Thank you, Kim. God bless you.
Coming up after the break, it is Jesse Jane Duff. Did you know there's a debate tomorrow? Because I found some ridiculous survey that talked about how fewer than half of the people who were registered to vote even realize there's a debate happening. That's pathetic. We're going to talk about it here coming up after the break. I'm Kim, in for Mark.
Zach and I will bring back free speech in America because it's been taken away. They've taken away your free speech, and the fake news is a threat to this country. They are just horrible. These are horrible people. Not everyone. I mean, I know most of them up there. Some are good. Hello, Brian. No, some are good, and most of them are just absolutely terrible human beings. They know what's going on. You know what they'll write today? But look at this crowd. It goes from corner to corner. I flew over, and I said, that's a lot of people down there. And you know what they'll say today or tomorrow when they write? Donald Trump spoke today in Wisconsin before a small crowd of people. A small gathering of people. They are just so bad. I don't know.
I am hard, but I am fair.
Good morning, motivator.
From now on, you will speak only when spoken to.
Take the hill. We got a long week.
Jesse Jane Duff joining us now. And Jesse Jane, I am not the only one who is very eager to see how this debate between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump is going to play out tomorrow.
Oh, goodness. This is big. I'm more excited than the Super Bowl.
I think I am, too.
You know, regardless, watching this is going to be very telling on how much preparation she has actually put into this. It's going to be telling how serious they really are. I mean, I have often wondered if this is just a trial balloon by the Democrats to see what they can do in 28, because it's just such a disastrous campaign on the Harris-Waltz part on so many levels. And they don't have a record. She picks such a weak candidate to run with her for VP. His record of lying and basically fraudulizing, being a fraudulent history of his military service. I just don't get what their goal is, other than to see, are they doing a trial balloon to see how many voters they can actually pull over and what their strategy would be for 28? Because you know that they've been strategically trying to pull us more and more left. And because it's just not a serious ticket, in my opinion. Donald Trump has been preparing for this for, 8 years? He has been very rehearsed since 15, when he was a different type of candidate at that time. He had to get rid of how many Republicans from being his competition? There were, 16, 17 on a stage. And he was able, one by one, to get them, to pick them off. And he was candid. He was blunt. He interjected. Then, fast forward to 2020, he dismantled Hillary Clinton very well. You know, we cannot forget how, I'm sorry, in 16 he did that, but up into 2020, he was able to dismantle Joe Biden. But we also do know that that election had a lot of twists and turns in it that we were quite ill-prepared for, with COVID and these mail-in ballots. Fast forward, here we are. We witnessed his last debate, and he kept his head and eyes to the front. He knew not to be glaring at his opponent, not to overspeak, which he couldn't do anyways because the mics were shut off.
Right.
And he was calm, he was measured, and he's disciplined now because he knows her strategy is to rattle him. He knows her strategy is to put him on defense, and he has literally nothing to have to get on defense about because his record is essentially going to handicap her. All she has is abortion. She wants to federalize abortion, and he can essentially turn around and say to her, how can you care about women when there's over 300,000 children right now that your administration is unaccounted for? Human trafficking is at all-time record highs. Under my administration, we ensured that women were no longer being human trafficked across that border and by gangs and drug dealers, and you have literally done nothing. He can give examples of that. If she tries to talk about his prosecution, he can say, well, we all know there are rogue prosecutors out there. You were one of them. You prosecuted a man and sent him to prison for murder, and out of that he had served over a decade and got $13 million when it was discovered he was falsely prosecuted.
Right.
And now you manipulated prisoners and had them fighting wildfires in California because you didn't want to release them. You know, her record is going to be just ripe for picking.
So you think these rules that are in place, like the muted mics that we saw in place for the Biden-Trump debate, you think that'll help or hurt Trump in this case?
Oh, it's going to work to his advantage.
Yeah.
You got to do is watch that Mike Pence debate, how every time he tried to interject like a civilized human being, she turned it into the I'm still speaking. You know, she did not want to have engagement. So, hey, no problem. We'll let you speak. And ABC did do a good job, and I think the Trump campaign put them on the hot seat for that because we continually said to them, you've got to do this right, you've got to do this right. And if they don't do it right, it's going to burn them ultimately because they end up looking biased. They did a great job.
We only have a minute left, but I want to ask you the question about the House Foreign Affairs Committee releasing that scathing report on the botched Afghanistan withdrawal. What do you make of that?
That nobody was held accountable, and that's going to be something that's going to be definitely a knife in her side because ultimately there was military advisors that had come out and advised against the methods in which Joe Biden wanted to withdraw. She didn't push back on the president because she has no capability of understanding what military operations should look like or how they should be run. And I'm disappointed on many levels that there weren't military people that resigned. And I dare to say that they were complacent and they enabled it because if you don't resign, it tells me silence is consent. And what that tells me is many of these four-star generals up there in the Pentagon are more concerned about their retirement after their military service than they are about doing what's right by their Marines, soldiers, sailors, and airmen. Because the 11 Marines that were on that post at Abbey Gate did not have combatant experience, and they were put in a position where they ultimately died. The same with the corpsman, and I believe the soldier who died did have experience in Afghanistan, but I don't know that it was in a combatant role. With that, these contractors get, these generals get off of active duty. Look at Secretary Lloyd Austin. He had $1.5 million in unvested stock with Raytheon that I have never heard he cashed in. He's still apparently profiting off today, and Raytheon contracts are huge and enormous. $250 million just went to Ukraine for security forces being provided by, guess who? Raytheon.
Jesse Jane, we're out of time. Thanks so much.
All right, take the hill. It'll be a long week.
Great sportsmind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball's really not a hard sport.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's, reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order. The ice and snow from the midnight sun, where the hearts
All right, Tom Ackerman in studio now. Carl Middleman is heated. This is probably, when I walked into the studio this morning, the show hadn't even started, and Carl's already complaining about what happened at the Mizzou game.
Look, there are not many people I love more in this business than Carl Middleman. I'll be honest with you.
Thank you, Tom.
This is my guy. But,
Tom, I'll give you the $10 I offer to pay you to say that.
That said, I mean, you know, look, did they throw it? I mean, you run the ball and you just try to get out of there. I mean, it's, you know, it's very impressive that they shut out Buffalo and they've shut out two teams in a row.
Yeah, now 30, they're number six, right?
38, nothing's nothing. I mean, that's not running it up. The spread was, what, 35? 34 and a half?
But it was already 31 tonight.
So what? I mean, Indiana won 77-3 against Western Illinois. I felt awful. I was listening to it. I'm like, oh,
you didn't
God.
Feel awful.
Yes, I did. 70. We don't need to score 77 points against
see,
anybody.
See, now you think they ran up the score?
Just get out of there. I mean, Western Illinois, I was listening to the radio broadcast, and they're like, man, Western Illinois looked like they did not want to be here during warmups. And I felt bad for him, honestly. I mean, and I've my school has not been in this position where they can put 77 points on air. I mean, they just, you know. So I don't know. It's 38 nothings. That's half of what we had that day.
Yeah, I'd say who cares? Good for Mizzou.
You know, and Mizzou's the sixth ranked team in the country. I mean, they're gonna. I don't even know if they were playing. I didn't pay that close of attention late in the game. I kind of lost interest in it after they were doing their thing. But they probably ran out some second and third string guys. They're not gonna just sit there. They want to show off a little bit too. So you know what I mean. I'm not worried about it, but I'm happy for Missouri. Now it's gonna start getting a little different.
Do you think they would have? I'm sorry, Tom. Do you think they would have been high as six if Notre Dame hadn't blown it?
No. No, Notre. Well, I don't know. Oregon and Penn State definitely wouldn't move up because those two didn't look good either. Oregon played a good Boise State team, beat them by, I think, a field goal. And then Penn State, really rough time against Bowling Green. They should have destroyed them and won by only a touchdown. So those two didn't move. Tennessee moved up to seven. Six of the top seven are SEC teams, by the way. Missouri jumping three spots surprised me a little bit, but it is because Notre Dame got bounced by Northern Illinois, and one of the most amazing things I've seen. I loved
that
every second of it.
That interview was great.
Oh, so good. So good. I love seeing, and that's not it. I'm not like knocking Notre Dame. It's just a great, that's why I watch sports, because I like when things are unpredictable. Predictable sports are no fun.
Mm-hmm.
You want unpredictable. You, mm-hmm. This is why we tune in to see reality TV.
That's why they play the games.
It's
why
awesome.
We root for the underdog.
It's the original reality TV. So cool. Anyway, Mizzou 6. With that will come high, high, high expectations. Missouri is no longer the underdog. They can't play that card anymore. Mm-hmm. They are not just going to suddenly show up on the radar. They are targeted now by every team. Here comes Boston College. And they beat Florida State in Tallahassee, and they're ranked now. So they are a disciplined football team with Bill O'Brien as the coach. Missouri should handle them, but it'll be a closer game than what you saw these first two games.
You know, Scott was talking about the Cardinals, and I feel like we were all excited when they took the series with the Brewers. Like, wow, they did it. And then not so much with the Mariners.
No, it's been a difficult season, and you know, even if they went on a run here and won the last 19 games of the season and made the playoffs, they still have to make changes.
They have that one year. Was it a couple years
they
ago?
They won 17 in a row.
17 in a row. I remember that.
Mike Schilts last year, and then he got fired.
Yeah,
that's true. But even if they did that, they're going to make changes, mm-hmm. and they're not going to. I don't think it's going to be Ollie Marmol. I think it's going to be in the area of development. So I talked to John Mozeliak about it yesterday. Gary LaRocque, their head of player development, retired. And while they love Gary and he's had a great career, he sees this as an opportunity, John does, to get some help for the drafting and developing of this franchise. He said that is still the key to winning. And I asked him if he would go within the organization or is this a chance to look outside to the teams that are doing it right and bring people in. He said, I got to tell you, it's already done. Mm-hmm. We've already done that. So the interviews are going to be underway here soon. So they are going to make changes, as he said, within the organization in terms of drafting, developing players. I have to assume that also means hiring, maybe spending more resources on instructors down in spring training and in the minor league system to grow this. And then, as I've said, you have the resources at that point to patch whatever holes you have with free agents. So you go spend the big bucks on a free agent to patch whatever you don't develop and draft. And that's the way the Cardinals just have to do this thing. Mozeliak also basically told me he's not going anywhere. I mean, he said, you know, as I reflect on my career and I look back, and he's like, I'm not ready to do that just yet, to call it just yet. So Mozeliak's going to be around for another year. His contract runs out in 2025, and then he's going to have a succession plan for himself and try to redo what this – they have to do it all throughout this organization and recapture what they used to be.
Mm-hmm. What about the Blues? I know Carl – is very excited for camp. October, well,
October 15th. The Blues went out and they took... See, that's one thing. The Blues did something the Cardinals didn't do. No, the Cardinals did not tell their fans that, you know, they didn't get to this point. It took them a little while to get to the point and say, we're not doing this right anymore. The Blues did that. The Blues are like, hey, hi, I'm Doug Armstrong. We won a Stanley Cup, but you know what? We're not doing this right. And that's on us. And so we're going to retool here. But we're going to stay competitive, but I just want you to ride this out with us. We're going to get younger. We're going to make some moves. And they've done exactly what they said. They were very transparent with their fans. And the Cardinals now are going to do that. I don't blame anybody who comes to Busch Stadium. They had or doesn't. I mean, the fans were great over the weekend. The fans are great, even though they don't show up. The fans of the Cardinals are great, period, end of story. It is not anything to do with them, and they will be back. They're there. They're just showing you they're not happy right now, mm-hmm. and they want to get back to what they used to be.
Yeah, I don't know how often or how many times they can be like, it's a rebuilding year.
Yeah, well, the Cardinals haven't said that.
No, I know. It's just like you can't peg it on that. You know, it's like people are going to have high expectations after
for sure
the disastrous.
You know,
season.
The Blues now are so the fans get to watch the team get younger, but they are still competitive. I think the Blues could be a playoff team. They have enough experienced players that they've added
Carl,
to this mix.
I hope so.
Strong reaction there.
You don't think so?
I'm looking forward
says
to see the
buzzer
prospects.
Guy. The Blues buzzer guy is.
I don't think they're
going to
go. I don't think they're going to go win the cup, but I think they could be one of the top eight teams in the West.
Yeah,
I mean, I think they can. It depends on, of course, Thomas Kyrou and some of these younger players that they're growing that have to be, you know, great now.
You know what I love? You're the ultimate optimist with St. Louis sports.
A great sportsman like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball is really not a hard sport.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's, reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
All right, Tom Ackerman in studio now. Carl Middleman is heated. But when I walked into the studio this morning, the show hadn't even started, and Carl's already complaining about what happened at the Mizzou game.
Look, there are not many people I love more in this business than Carl Middleman. I'll be honest with you.
Thank you, Tom.
This is my guy.
Tom, I'll give you the $10 I offer to pay you to say that.
That said, I mean, you know, look, did they throw it? I mean, you run the ball and you just try to get out of there. I mean, it's, you know, it's very impressive that they shut out Buffalo and they've shut out two teams in a row.
Yeah, now they're number six, right?
38-0's nothing. I mean, that's not running it up. The spread was, what, 35? 34 and a half?
But it was already 31 tonight.
So what? I mean, Indiana won 77-3 against Western Illinois. I felt awful. I was listening to it. I'm like, oh,
you didn't
God.
Feel awful.
Yes, I did. 70. We don't need to score 77 points against
anybody.
See,
now you think they ran up the score?
Just get out of there. I mean, Western Illinois, I was listening to the radio broadcast, and they're like, man, Western Illinois looked like they did not want to be here during warmups. And I felt bad for him, honestly. I mean, and my school has not been in this position where they can put 77 points on air. I mean, they just, you know, so I don't know. It's 38-0. That's half of what we had that day.
Yeah, I'd say who cares? Good for Mizzou.
You know, and Mizzou's the sixth-ranked team in the country. I mean, they're going to – I don't even know if they were playing. I didn't pay that close of attention late in the game. I kind of lost interest in it after they were doing their thing. But they probably ran out some second- and third-string guys. They're not going to just sit there. They want to show off a little bit, too. So, you know what I mean? I'm not worried about it. But I'm happy for Missouri. Now it's going to start – getting a little different.
Do you think they would have? I'm sorry, Tom. Do you think they would have been high as six if Notre Dame hadn't blown it?
No. I don't know. Oregon and Penn State definitely wouldn't move up because those two didn't look good either. Oregon played a good Boise State team, beat them by I think a field goal, And then Penn State, really rough time against Bowling Green. They should have destroyed them and won by only a touchdown. So those two didn't move. Tennessee moved up to 7. 6 of the top 7 are SEC teams, by the way. Missouri jumping 3 spots surprised me a little bit, but it is because Notre Dame got bounced by Northern Illinois, and one of the most amazing things I've seen. I loved
that
every second of it.
Great.
Oh, so good. So good. I just love seeing, and that's not it. I'm not like knocking Notre Dame. It's just a great, that's why I watch sports, because I like when things are unpredictable. Predictable sports are no fun.
Mm-hmm.
You want unpredictable. You, this is why we tune in to see reality TV.
That's why they play the games.
It's
why
awesome.
We root for the underdog.
It's the original reality TV. So cool. Anyway, Mizzou 6. With that will come high expectations. Missouri is no longer the underdog. They can't play that card anymore. Mm-hmm. They are not just going to suddenly show up on the radar. They are targeted now by every team. Here comes Boston College. And they beat Florida State in Tallahassee, and they're ranked now. So they are a disciplined football team with Bill O'Brien as the coach. Missouri should handle them, but it'll be a closer game than what you saw these first two games.
You know, Scott was talking about the Cardinals, and I feel like we were all excited when they took the series with the Brewers. Like, wow, they did it. And then not so much with the Mariners.
No, it's been a difficult season. And, you know, even if they went on a run here and won the last 19 games of the season and made the playoffs, they still have to make changes.
They have that one year. Was it a couple years
ago? They
won
17 in a row.
17 in a row. I remember that.
Mike Schilt's last year, and then he got fired.
Yeah, that's true.
But even if they did that, they're going to make changes. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to – I don't think it's going to be Ali Marmol. I think it's going to be in the area of development. So I talked to John Mozeliak about it yesterday. Gary LaRocque, their head of player development, retired. And while they love Gary and he's had a great career, he sees this as an opportunity, John does, to get some help for the drafting and developing of this franchise. He said that is still the key to winning. And I asked him if he would go within the organization or is this a chance to look outside to the teams that are doing it right and bring people in. He said, I got to tell you, it's already done. Mm-hmm. We've already done that. So the interviews are going to be underway here soon. So they are going to make changes, as he said, within the organization in terms of drafting, developing players. I have to assume that also means hiring, maybe spending more resources on instructors down in spring training and in the minor league system to grow this. And then, as I've said, you have the resources at that point to patch whatever holes you have with free agents. So you go spend the big bucks on a free agent to patch whatever you don't develop and draft. And that's the way the Cardinals just have to do this thing. Mozeliak also basically told me he's not going anywhere. I mean, he said, you know, as I reflect on my career and I look back and he's like, I'm not ready to do that just yet, to call it just yet. So Mozeliak's going to be around for another year. His contract runs out in 2025, and then he's going to have a succession plan for himself and try to redo what this, they have to do it all throughout this organization and recapture what they used to be.
Mm-hmm. What about the Blues? I know Carl is very excited for
prospect camp.
October 15th.
The Blues went out and they took, so that's one thing, the Blues did something the Cardinals didn't do.
Got people.
No, the Cardinals did not tell their fans that, you know, they didn't get to this point. It took them a little while to get to the point and say, we're not doing this right anymore. The Blues did that. The Blues are like, hey, hi, I'm Doug Armstrong. We won a Stanley Cup, but you know what? We're not doing this right, and that's on us. And so we're going to retool here, but we're going to stay competitive. But I just want you to ride this out with us. We're going to get younger. We're going to make some moves. And they've done exactly what they said. They were very transparent with their fans. And the Cardinals now are going to do that. I don't blame anybody who comes to Busch Stadium. They had or doesn't. I mean, the fans were great over the weekend. The fans are great, even though they don't show up. The fans of the Cardinals are great, period, end of story. It is not anything to do with them. And they will be back. They're there. They're just showing you they're not happy right now. Mm-hmm. And they want to get back to what they used to be.
Yeah, I don't know how often or how many times they can be like, it's a rebuilding year.
Yeah, well, the Cardinals haven't said that.
No, I know. It's just like you can't peg it on that. You know, it's like people are going to have high expectations after
for sure
the disastrous.
You know,
season.
The Blues now are so the fans get to watch the team get younger, but they are still competitive. I think the Blues could be a playoff team. They have enough experienced players that they've added
Carl,
to this mix.
I hope so.
Strong reaction there.
You don't think so?
I I'm looking forward to see the prospects.
Buzzer guy. The Blues buzzer guy is
I don't think
not
they're
go, as optimistic.
I don't think they're going to go win the cup, but I think they could be one of the top eight teams in the West.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they can. It depends on, of course, Thomas Kyrou and some of these younger players that they're growing that have to be, you know, great now.
You know what I love? You're the ultimate optimist with St. Louis sports.
I'm just realistic. They're good enough to make the playoffs. They're not going to go win the cup. I mean, if they go win the cup, that would be unbelievable. That'd be the shocker of the world.
That'd be 2019.
Kim, you know? Lauren, of course, is reminding you that you need to mention Illinois.
Oh, that's right. If we mention Mizzou, we have to mention Illinois.
I do. And I do have to go do an interview here in a minute. But let me give you a minute
you're
on Illinois.
Give it to
him. Illinois had a great win on Saturday. They beat Kansas. They
beat
the ranked team that is no longer ranked. And the only reason Illinois is not ranked at this moment is because of Northern Illinois. Northern Illinois beating Notre Dame. They're now 25th in the country, and they should be. But Illinois beat Kansas. They did it at home. It was a great crowd. And the one thing that Illinois is doing now that it didn't do last year is win close games. Illinois is a different team than they were last year. They scored 10 points in the fourth quarter. They shut out Kansas in the fourth quarter. They are playing solid defense. They're doing what they have to do on offense. They did a terrific job. And Brett Bielema said that he was excited about this Illinois team, and so far so good. They're 2-0, and they're going to be 3-0. They'll win this next game too. Then the Big Ten schedule will be tough, and there will be some tough games for them, but I see them as a bowl team now. I mean, that's a huge hurdle that they cleared there. Beating Kansas at home was one they had to get. They were underdogs in the game. They proved everybody wrong. They beat Kansas, and now it's time to shine. I think Illinois is on the rise for sure.
All right, Tom. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, as a Mizzou alum, I'm always going to root against Kansas. You have to.
You do.
You do.
You should.
Well, just like every time Scott Jagow has said that the Rams lost, you've done an applause.
Yeah.
You're very, you are. I mean, I think we all would probably clap at that. How many Rams fans are left in the city of St. Louis?
There are some.
2%, actually.
Yeah, okay, so a whopping 2%.
Yeah, because they just did a survey.
Oh.
And you're not one of them, are you?
No, he's Buffalo.
Buffalo Bills fan.
Oh, okay.
No, the survey was interesting. It was across the state of Missouri, 43% of people said they were Chiefs fans. Do you want to guess the second favorite team in Missouri in the NFL?
If I had, I worked for the Rams for 10 years. I'm going to say it's the Green Bay Packers.
You're close. That's third.
Really?
There's another team ahead of them. Again, these are small percentages. The Chiefs are 43. The second team is 4%.
Oh, Bears?
Nope.
Vikings?
Nope. America's team.
Oh, yeah, Dallas.
Dallas Cowboys.
Really?
Yeah.
Texas? Why the Dallas Cowboys?
Because they're America's team.
They're that team.
Whatever.
They
that seems
bought into
day.
The hype.
As long as you're rooting
for 30 years ago. In 30
if
years.
If you're a Rams fan, it's kind of like a lot of people who secretly want to support Donald Trump, but they're embarrassed to say that they're voting for him. They're like, I'm a Rams fan. I don't want you to know it, but I like them still.
But I think what's worse are former Rams fans who became Chiefs fans. That's worse.
Well, that's their, because that's the Chiefs. That's probably
because
me.
Lamar
I would
Hunt
support
voted
the, I'm
to
support
yes,
the Chiefs
thank
now.
You, Carl, because
I know.
Chiefs voted to get the Rams out of here.
Well, a lot of Taylor Swift fans are obsessed with the Chiefs now. Not because
bandwagoners.
Of the team, but because Taylor Swift's boyfriend plays for them. My gosh. All right, we're back after the break. Merry Christmas in September. You have a chance. If you want to sing it for us, Scott, that would be...
I
can be quiet.
No, this it just makes you want to hum it.
I feel like I want to take a nap right now. Yeah. Trans-Siberian Orchestra coming to St. Louis. This is going to be on December 18th. And right now, we're giving you a chance to win tickets. I'm going to give you the number first to call, 314-241-9797. Scott, what number caller are we going with?
Seven.
Number seven to 314-241-9797. You're going to win tickets to Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Again, the concert is December 18th. I saw them last year, and they're fantastic.
Now, this year is different because it's, first of all, in the middle of the week. It's a Wednesday, and there is only one show.
My birthday's on a Wednesday this year?
Yes.
Hmm.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, no, they were great, and it's worth, if you've not seen them before, it's worth it. It's just fun around the holidays. It's a very lively, upbeat concert, as you can imagine. Lots of lights. It's fun. And they're really good about coming up, like walking through the aisles. I always love when artists do that.
Yeah, the lights are great.
It's so fun.
I did the lights last year.
Yeah, well, I did kind of feel like I might have a seizure, but it,
you're welcome.
They were really cool, very loud. But that, yeah, that's a cool concert. By the way, if you're not able to win the tickets today, you have more chances later this week, because every day this week we're going to be giving away.
Yeah, they just announced the show today, and tickets will be on sale soon, I believe.
Yes. Okay. I found this story, and actually, I thought of you, Carl. So Jim Morrison and the Doors, right?
Yes.
Now, I know of them, obviously, but there's a parody song that a parody songwriter redid of his. And
I laughed out loud at this.
It is funny as all get out. Listen to clip number 14.
You only say what is untrue. You are a master falsifier. When somebody fact checks you, like a chameleon, you change your attire. Karma loves a big fat liar. Karma loves a big fat liar. Liar, liar, pants on fire.
I mean, it's not a good Doors parody, but it was still funny.
Oh my gosh, they have the video to go with it. I guess that they like reworked it with actual footage of the Doors' 1967 appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show. And they put in clips of Harris during her her very short presidential campaign. So that's the Light My Fire song that they've now remade to be Kamala is a liar. Kamala's a big fat liar. You should play it again, Carl. It's good. That's a catchy song.
Well, it's a catchy song by the Doors.
Right.
But see, I know this song. If you would have asked me beforehand who sang it, I probably could not have answered that question. But I think we've all heard that song.
Yeah,
Light
and
My
actually
Fire.
Ed Sullivan asked Jim Morrison not to say higher in that when he performed it.
So of course he walked right up to the camera.
Liar, pants on fire. I'm going to keep my day job. Don't worry. I know singing is not my strength. You don't have to tell me that. You just see it in your eyes.
So also, we know that there's something going on with our phone lines, so I don't know why no one can get through. So keep calling.
Keep trying. Okay. Yeah. 314-241-9797. You can win Trans-Siberian Orchestra tickets. Again, we're doing it all week, so you have more chances Tuesday through Friday. We're back. Mark is back, I should say, tomorrow, the big debate day. We have full pre-debate coverage from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. Scott J. Gow, thank you for filling in for me this morning. Have a fantastic Monday. We will see you right back here tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Merry Christmas in September. You have a chance. Yeah, if you want to sing it for us, Scott, that would be... I can be quiet.
No, this, it just makes you want to hum it.
I feel like I want to take a nap right now. Yeah. Trans-Siberian Orchestra coming to St. Louis. This is going to be on December 18th. And right now, we're giving you a chance to win tickets. I'm going to give you the number first to call, 314-241-9797. Scott, what number caller are we going with?
Seven.
Number seven to 314-241-9797. You're going to win tickets to Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Again, the concert is December 18th. I saw them last year, and they're fantastic.
Now, this year is different because it's, first of all, in the middle of the week. It's a Wednesday, and there is only one show.
My birthday's on a Wednesday this year?
Yes.
Hmm.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, no, they were great, and it's worth, if you've not seen them before, it's worth it. It's just fun around the holidays. It is a very lively, upbeat concert, as you can imagine. Lots of lights. It's fun. And they're really good about coming up, like walking through the aisles. I always love when artists do that.
Yeah, the lights are great.
It's so fun.
I did the lights last year.
Yeah, I did kind of feel like I might have a seizure, but
you're welcome.
They were really cool. Very loud. But that, yeah, that's a cool concert. By the way, if you're not able to win the tickets today, you have more chances later this week, because every day this week we're going to be giving away.
Yeah, they just announced the show today, and tickets will be on sale soon, I believe.
Yes. Okay. I found this story, and actually I thought of you, Carl. So Jim Morrison and the Doors, right?
Yes.
Now, I know of them, obviously, but there's a parody song that a parody songwriter redid of his. And
I laughed out loud at this.
It is funny as all get out. Listen to clip number 14.
You only say what is untrue. You are a master falsifier. When somebody fact checks you, like a chameleon, you change your attire. Karma
love's a big fat liar. Karma loves a big fat liar. Liar, liar, pants on fire.
I mean, it's not so a good Doors parody, but it was still funny.
Oh my gosh, they have the video to go with it. I guess that they like reworked it with actual footage of the Doors' 1967 appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show. And they put in clips of Harris during her her very short presidential campaign. So that's the Light My Fire song that they've now remade to be Kamala is a liar. Kamala's a big fat liar. You should play it again, Carl. It's good. That's a catchy song.
Well, it's a catchy song by the Doors.
Right.
But see, I know this song. If you would have asked me beforehand who sang it, I probably could not have answered that question. But I think we've all heard that song.
Yeah,
Light
and
My
actually
Fire.
Ed Sullivan asked Jim Morrison not to say higher in that when he performed it.
So of course he then he,
and then he
walked right up to the camera.
Liar, pants on fire. I'm going to keep my day job. Don't worry. I know singing is not my strength. You don't have to tell me that. You just see it in your eyes.
So also, we know that there's something going on with our phone lines, so I don't know why no one can get through. So keep calling.
Keep trying. Okay. Yeah. 314-241-9797. You can win Trans-Siberian Orchestra tickets. Again, we're doing it all week, so you have more chances Tuesday through Friday. We're back. Mark is back, I should say, tomorrow, the big debate day. We have full pre-debate coverage from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. Scott J. Gow, thank you for filling in for me this morning. Have a fantastic Monday. We will see you right back here tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.